Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
If you're a fan of filmmaker John Waters, and I definitely am, and you've ever asked yourself, where does he come up with this stuff? I'm thinking about his body of work, of course, which includes Hairspray, Crybaby, and the movie Pink Flamingos.
You are about to receive into your community the filthiest people alive!
You may not get an answer if you read his latest book, Role Models, but you'll have a great deal of fun trying to find out where he does come up with his stuff. John Waters is my guest here in the studio. Good morning, John.
How are you?
You know, this book, the impression of this book, reading this book, is kind of like what I imagine it would be like if I came over to your apartment and just sort of wandered around and asked about all the strange objects that are everywhere or the books that are on the shelves.
Certainly.
Is that a good metaphor?
Yeah, it's all the influences I have. It's my memoirs told through other people's lives that were extreme, more extreme than mine in most cases.
And, you know, you actually taught me to love Johnny Mathis. Let's listen, first of all.
Me, I'm as helpless as a kitten up a tree.
And you know, John, like growing up as a kind of heavy metal rock and roll kid, this was the death force, this
I know.
Music.
I know, but it was make-out music. And who makes out to heavy metal?
That's true. Yeah, I certainly didn't.
I mean, to me, Johnny Mathis still sounds as good. He's still sold out. He doesn't do radio shows. He doesn't do interviews. He doesn't go to premieres. You never see Johnny Mathis in the press. He's beyond fame. Everybody else has to maintain their career. He does not.
So tell me about some of the other folks in here. My favorites, you know, involve some of the books in your book collection. And Little Richard, of course, got his own chapter.
Yes.
Let's talk about Little Richard.
Well, Little Richard is the role model that was only had a little trouble meeting. I mean, I loved him as a kid because I realized very early that he scared all white people.
Including your family.
And he scared black people. He scared all people because he was like a Martian. If you look back in the 50s and see Little Richard's first performances, you thought, what on earth? He made Elvis Presley look normal. So I love Little Richard. I wear his mustache to this day.
Yes, you do.
That I have appropriated. His is thicker now. Mine is a little bit of pencil on it. His looks like an industrial magic marker. But when I met him, though, it was weird because I was quoting all the stuff from this great biography that he cooperated with that came out, and he got nervous about that because he has religious followers, and he also has rock and roll followers. And he, I think, wants to keep that very separate.
Right.
And I was interviewing him for Playboy, so it's not like I was there for the Catholic Review interviewing him.
Exactly.
He told me he was Jewish. So, you know, it was confusing.
In your section on a bunch of books, you have how many books in your apartment?
Oh, I have to look. It was 8,000 something.
8,000.
But I read them. You know,
yeah.
I don't. An impotent library. People that buy books and don't read them is, you know, it's still better than not buying them at all, I guess.
Tell me a little bit about this Jane Bowles book that came out in the 40s called
Two Serious Ladies.
Two Serious Ladies.
It's Tennessee Williams' favorite book. It's my favorite novel, too. And it's the most unhinged book about these two women that just break away from their families to try to experience the weirdness of life. But it's so bizarre and it's so unhinged that you laugh out loud when you're reading it. I think it's a brilliant, brilliant novel. When it came out, nobody knew what to make of it. It fell out of print so much that Jane Bowles herself didn't even have a copy of it when they wanted her to come back and reprint it. So it's been a favorite underground novel with a great street cred forever.
And Jane Bowles is
Paul Bowles' wife.
And
she was in mental institutions of life, alcoholic, tried to kill herself, you know, all the things that happens to writers.
Well, and hanging out with Paul Bowles, I mean, that'll
Well, he supposedly said he had sex with a man and a woman. He found both unappealing. Well, that is refreshing to hear somebody say that.
Which leads us directly to Tennessee Williams. In the chapter about him, you write, gay was not enough. It was a good start.
Well, it isn't enough anymore. I mean, to me, gay should be the same as everybody now. So what, really? When people say to me, I'm a gay writer, I think, well, are they any good? I mean, there's bad gay writers, certainly. So I always think that Tennessee Williams was not a cliche in any ways. He hung out in Bohemia always. He hung out with a very mixed crowd, which I do too. I want to hear a straight person's worst night, too. I don't want to hear just everybody exactly the same. I like it completely mixed. That's why I live in Baltimore.
I mean, part of this book is very much about sort of gay culture in a sense.
Well,
but I don't think it's.
I don't think I fit in with gay culture.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, what this book is all about the invitations you found in life growing up in what, Lutherville, Maryland?
Lutherville, Maryland.
You can't even say Baltimore.
Yeah.
All right. Invitations to be different.
Yes, and I always wanted to be. And even the gay people I write about are people that don't fit in that world. I write about two outsider pornographers, one who specializes in Marines, heterosexual, and the other one specializes in psychotics. So this is hardly the standard
journalism.
Gay pride.
Yeah, exactly. Does anything shock you at this point?
Sure, stupidity, racism, all the obvious liberal answers. But people are trying too hard to be shocking. And that's why I love Johnny Mathis. He doesn't try at all. So effortlessness is something that is quite appealing to me.
Has your mother seen this book?
She's not allowed to read it. I gave her the high concept of each one, and I said, now, she doesn't need to know about Bobby Garcia, the Marine porn
star.
But my mother, I think, comes off very well in the book. And my parents were incredibly supportive of me, which took me a long time to realize, that they were horrified by my career. But however, they supported it because they knew I really wanted to do something. And so they stood behind me.
And your story isn't a story of rebellion. It's a please get out of my way. I'm not going to hurt anyone. Right?
Well, no, it was a rebellion. Certainly, I was angry when I was young. But, you know, being 64 and angry is really pitiful. You know, you really look like a jerk if you're still complaining at 64. And what do I have to complain about? I've made a lot of movies. I've written a lot of books. I've done exactly what I wanted to do my whole life. I'm a healthy neurotic, and I'm proud of it.
And, you know, it occurred to me, and I normally don't ask these kind of questions, but it occurred to me at the end of this book, you know, what do you want on your tombstone?
Just my name and the day I was born and the day I'm died, because a joke is never timeless. Humor, really, you can't think a good enough joke to last for eternity. And suppose the resurrection happens. I mean, you know, a lot of things could happen.
Exactly.
So it's the only thing religious I hope is true.
So what's going to happen to all the great stuff that you have?
And Wesleyan Film Archives has a lot of it, all my film-related stuff, all my personal stuff goes to Wesleyan. It's been going there for years and years.
Oh,
and my
friends,
I have a very complicated will, as you can imagine.
Can I get in it just for some of the books?
No, all the books, that's my library. That has to go to one place.
Of course. Well, John Waters, thank you so much. The book is Role Models, and there are a lot of them in there. There are some cautionary tales in here as well, but thanks so much.
Thank you.
She walks by, the mean folks get in cold.
Can't help it, the girl can't help it.
If she wins an eye, the bread slice turned to toast.
Can't help it, the girl can't help it.
If she got a lot of what they call the mold.
Can't help it.
Little Richard there as we contemplate the mind of John Waters. Thanks so much to John Waters. Maybe a stripper named Zorro isn't your role model, but who is? Raymond writes to us on Facebook, not sure I have any role models. No one is perfect. I wouldn't want to force that responsibility onto anyone. Tell us what you think by calling 877-8-MY-TAKE or texting TAKE to 69866. And what do Rafer Guzman and Kristen Meinzer have to say this week?
It never quite got to me the way it got to other people. I don't know why that is.
Because you have a cold, dark heart?
You think it's because I'm dead inside? Maybe it is. I don't know. But I liked Marmaduke. I can't be all bad.
They're talking about the movie Babe this week. Go to the takeaway.org, click on podcasts, and hear Movie Date. That's our great podcast. I'm John Hockenberry. Todd Zwillick's in for me the rest of the week.
I'm Lynn Scherr in for Celeste. This is The Takeaway.
Well, then I-